And for us tonight, take your Bibles and turn to Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs chapter 20. This is a section on living right versus living unrighteously. Last week we talked about that right choices will lead to a right life. And there were several commands that we need to do as Christians if we want to live a right life. The first one is in verse 1 through 4 that we need to exhibit integrity. We need to exhibit knowledge. We need to take responsibility. And we need to have compassion on others. In verses 5 through 7, we need to deny liars. We shouldn't fellowship with people that are habitual liars. We should not take part of their lies. Don't use flattery. Don't butter people up. Tell people the truth. That's what we need today in our society, in our culture. And then also, don't pester people. Don't pester people. Just say it once and be done with it. But this is more along the line of the poor that just keeps on asking and asking and asking and asking and asking. Verses 8 through 9, we need to have proper desire for wisdom, and we need to have desire for truthfulness. Then we need to act in verses 10 through 13. We need to act consistently. We need to act in consideration of what the possible outcomes will be. We need to act cognitively. We need to think about what we're doing, and then cooperatively working together. Then we need to reflect on the basis of blessings, on the lack that happens when you are lazy. If you don't work, you don't eat. People wonder, why don't I have any money if I never have a job? It's not other people's responsibility to help lazy people when they're perfectly capable of working. Folks, that works in a church too. It's not just a few people's responsibility to do all the ministry of the church. We're all ministers of reconciliation. We're all called to do this thing. We need to look and reflect on the objects of obedience. What are the benefits of obeying God? And then also on the merits of ministry. We need to make a vow, and we're going to see some verses tonight about that. Make a vow to determine to discipline, especially parents with their children. And then also in our own Christian life that we have self-control and temperance. And then commit to counsel. Find advice. There's plenty of it out there. There's a lot of it in here. So you need to consult God. You need to consult God's Word. And then exhibit the expected. This is basically what people expect. People expect kindness. People have their idea of how a Christian should act. And I'll be honest with you, sometimes that's more in line with the Bible than people in church. And so we need to exhibit the expected and then leave laziness behind. Lastly, take action for the truth, for your family, and then also to live the truth. So as we go on into chapter 20, tonight we're going to see a continuation of these thoughts of the contrast between living right and living not right. So we're going to talk about what not to do. And if there's a negative example, that means that there's a positive thing that we can do to prevent that from happening. And so what we do or what we do not defines us. It is our choice. And there are in the Bible, there are three types of sins. There are sins of commission. If God says, thou shalt not, you better not do it. There are sins of omission. If God says, thou shalt, you better do those things. And then Christ said this. He says, sin can even start in, you can just sin by having a bad thought. Our thoughts are supposed to be pure and on God. And so we have sins of just thought and of word. So we're going to look at several things tonight about what not to do. In Exodus chapter 23, verse 21, God's talking to Moses. He said, I'm going to send your angel, capital A, your pre-incarnate Christ. He says, beware of him and obey his voice. Provoke him what? Not. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him. This can only talk of Jesus Christ, because there's only one person that can forgive sins, and that's Christ, who is God in the flesh. So tonight, we need to understand, do not provoke. Do not provoke. Let's look at verses 1 through 4 of Proverbs chapter 20. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. And whosoever is deceived thereby is not what?
Wise.
The fear of a king is as a roaring of a lion. Whoso provoketh him to anger sinneth against his own soul. It is an honor for a man to cease from strife, but every fool will be meddling. The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold, therefore shall he beg and harvest and have nothing. So we see four things, one for each of these verses. The first thing, we should not provoke the one who saved us by losing your sense of knowing. I hope that you all, since you've been saved, haven't been drunk. Okay? And if you have been, there's something wrong. There's something wrong. We're supposed to keep our faculties about us. This issue about wine is a mocker. This is talking about fermented stuff. Strong drink. This is talking about stuff that's not diluted. They used to cut their grape juice down with water to make it go further. But if you keep it all together and you don't cut it, what happens? It ferments. So this is talking about being drunk, because what does alcohol do to you? Causes you not to understand your senses. It causes you to be deceived. It causes you to say things that you forget about. Did I say that? Was I there? Did I do those things? If you don't have your senses, you're provoking God. So the issue is, don't provoke God by losing your senses from something that you do. Drugs are the same way. Pornography is the same way. If you lose your sense and you just have to have it and you're controlled, Paul says, he says, all things are expedient to me, but I will be bought. Not brought under the control of any of those things. If these things are controlling your life, then you need to give God more of your life. Secondly, in verse 2, by losing respect, do not provoke by losing respect for others. Now remember, this is Solomon telling his sons, his children, what to do. And Solomon's got a whole bunch of life lessons that he's passing on to them. You know, the fear of the king is as a roaring of a lion. So, do you honestly want to go out and just absolutely just make someone mad? You know people like that? It seems it's in their makeup. That all they want to do is make people angry. If you say you're a Christian and you're doing that, something's incompatible in your spirit. It's not the same thing. Provoketh him to what? Anger. What? Sinneth against his own soul. So folks, if you just go out to pick a fight, that's sin. So all you want to do is go pick a fight. Now, if you're answering something with truth, that's a different story. But this is someone going to do this. Going to upset someone. We shouldn't be that. We're supposed to be what? Harmless as doves. We're supposed to be meek and humble. And meek and humble people don't do this. Meek and humble people have respect for others. Number 3. Whoop. By losing your sense of honor. We can either be vessels to honor or vessels to dishonor. God can take your vessel of dishonor and make it something usable for him. It says it is an honor for a man to cease from strife. We need some peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the what? Children of God. Christ in his very first sermon talked about this. And he says, don't lose your sense of honor. Don't lose your testimony. Folks, it takes years. It takes time to build a testimony. It takes time to be respected as an honorable person. It only just takes one indiscretion to destroy it all. Don't provoke God by trashing what he's given you and just throwing it all away. And then lastly, do not provoke by losing your willingness to work. That is what a sluggard is. It's someone who just doesn't have the desire to work. There are physical sluggards and there are spiritual sluggards. There are people that refuse to do anything on a spiritual level. It doesn't matter which way it is. It has two applications here. And it said, will not plow by what? It's too cold outside. There may be snow on the ground. Okay? He'll come up with any reason not to do something. You know people like that too? They'll come up with any reason not to do something. And then it says, therefore what? He'll come begging. Okay? And have what? Nothing. You know, if you put nothing in, you get nothing out. So, do not provoke. In Galatians chapter 6, verses 3 and 4, Paul writes to the church there, he says, for if a man think himself to be what? Something when he is what? Nothing. He what? Deceiveth himself. He deceives himself. But let every man prove his what? His own work. You can't prove your walk from me. You can prove it to me, but you've got to do it yourself. It says, then he shall have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. Do not provoke. Do not pretend. In verses 5 through 11 here, it says, counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find? The just man walketh in his integrity, his children are blessed after him. A king that sitteth in the throne of judgment scattereth away all evil with his eyes. Who can say, I have made my heart clean, I am pure from my sin? Divers weights and divers measures, both of them are alike abomination to the Lord. Even a child is known by his doings, whether his work be pure and whether it be right. So, do not pretend. Do not pretend because, and this is how you don't pretend. You got to have understanding. You got to have understanding. It says here, it says that counsel in the heart is like what? Deep water. What do you have to do in a deep well? You have to have a long rope and a long bucket to go out. We have to dig for the truth of God. It's just not superficial. You have to dig deep for it. It's like the parable of the treasure in the field. He knows that there's a treasure in the field. He goes, the man buys a field, and then he digs up the treasure. And it says, a man of what? A man of understanding will what? Draw it out. See, it's one thing to have a head knowledge of something, but it's another thing to have a life application of it. And folks, don't pretend that you're a know-it-all when you don't do it all. Secondly, in order not to pretend, you must have faithfulness. It says most men will proclaim everyone is what? His own goodness. They like to beat themselves on the chest and say, look at what I've done. But it says, but a what? Faithful man who can find? Christ said, when the Son of Man cometh, will he find what? Faith on earth. Without faith, it is what? Impossible to please God. And so we must have faithfulness. Third, we've got to have integrity. You can have, that could be also translated as character. You got to have integrity. It says, the just man walketh in his integrity. When you know you're in the right way, the right path, at the right time, you have peace, don't you? You have peace because you know you're doing everything the right way. Because you're on the narrow path. You're listening to the little voice back here. God's not trying to go, wake up, wake up, wake up. He's not trying to do that to you. It says, the just man walketh in his integrity. And then not only that, but folks, that's a legacy. Integrity and testimony and truthfulness and faithfulness is a legacy that we need to pass on to our kids. What kind of example are we setting to our kids? We can all say the right words here, but when we go home and when we do things, are we doing things justly? He says, this is what the Lord requires of you, is to live justly and to walk humbly with your God. So do not pretend. You've got to have understanding. So don't pretend that you have understanding when you know you don't. Don't intend that you are faithful when you're not. People have really redefined what faithfulness is. Well, he's a faithful church attender. He comes once a month. No. See, you don't define faithfulness. God does. You need to have integrity. Next thing, you must see as God sees. You must see, God says, it says, a king that sitteth in the throne of judgment scattereth away what? Evil. What is the whole purpose of laws? To keep evil at bay. To do right. For people can live in harmony. That is it. It says, scattereth away what? All evil with his eye. See, we have to see things the way Christ sees them. We have to have the mind of Christ, as it says in Philippians chapter 2. Well, in order to do that, you've got to eliminate self-righteousness. You've got to eliminate, it says, who can say, I have made my heart clean. I am pure from my sin. Remember what the problem with the Pharisees was? They thought that all the things that they were doing was currying God's favor, and that was God going to approve what they were doing. Folks, the only thing that God will approve of us doing is things that we do for Christ. Through Christ. And for Christ. To glorify God. And so we need to eliminate self-righteousness out. And then Christ goes on in the Sermon on the Mount. Talks about praying. Don't pray in public with a trumpet. Okay? Pray in a closet. So when you ask God secretly, He will reward you openly. When you give your alms, don't make a big deal about it. Do it. Don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing. Got to eliminate self-righteousness. Folks, that requires us to be humble. In verse 10, we must treat everyone equally. Okay, diverse weights and diverse measures. Okay, so for you, I have this set of weights. For you, I have a different set of weights. I don't like you. So I'm going to use heavier weights so you don't get as much. I like you. I'm going to use lighter weights so you get more. I better like you. You're my wife. But the issue is we can't have. We got to treat everyone what? God is no respecter of persons, and neither we should be. And what it says, both of them are what? Alike abomination to God. And then lastly, we must learn the lesson of a child. Even a child is known by his doings. Now, he may try to cover it up, or she may try to cover it up, but you'll figure it out. Right, parents?
Yep.
Christian, we may try to cover it up, but God knows what's going on. God knows what's going on. So are your doings known to God as following these things or pretending to follow those things? See, that's the choice. So do not provoke. What not to do? Do not pretend. Mark chapter 8, verses 17 through 18. And when Jesus knew it, he said unto them, "Why reason ye? Because ye have no bread." Two Sundays ago, we preached on multiplied bread. And Philip and the rest of the disciples, they didn't get it. You know why? Because a man of understanding will draw out the truth. They should have gone to Jesus and said, "What does this mean? What does this mean?" But they just kept on thinking on the superficial. He says, "Because ye have no bread, perceive ye not yet? Neither what? Understand? Have ye your heart yet hardened? Having eyes ye see not? Having ears ye hear not? And do ye not what? Remember?" Do you remember what just happened a couple of days ago? With the 5,000? What happened at the marriage supper of Cana? What happened to the leper? They just don't understand. And then he goes on, he says, "I am the bread of life." See, do not presume. Do not presume. In verses 12 through 17, it says, "The hearing ear and the seeing eye, the Lord hath made even both of them. Love not sleep, lest thou come to poverty. Open thine eyes, and thou shalt be satisfied with bread. It is not, saith the buyer, but when he has gone his way, then he boasteth. There is gold and a multitude of rubies, but the lips of knowledge are a precious jewel. Take his garment that is surety for a stranger, and take a pledge of him for a strange woman. Bread of deceit is sweet to a man, but afterwards his mouth shall be filled with gravel." There's a lot of people that live a presumptuous life. In fact, the Bible talks about stay away from presumptuous sin. So here's some things here. In verse 12, God made you with eyes to see and ears to hear so you could hear the message of God. So you could see the glory of God. He made you a certain way. He made you a female or he made you a male. It's not if, "Well, I think I'm really the other way." No, God didn't make you that way. And if you're provoking God when you're going the way that you're not made. And it's not what other people think or what other people agree with. It's what "Thus saith the Lord" says. So, you are, don't presume that you are who you think you are. You are who God made you to be, and your purpose in life is to glorify Him. His will for your life is to accept His Son as Savior. That's it. Don't presume that you are who you think you are. Because when a man thinks he's something, when he's what? Nothing, he deceives himself. Secondly, you need to use the abilities that God has given you. He says, "Love not sleep, lest thou come to" what? Poverty. Open your eyes. God gave you eyes to see. And you need to see God. You need to see God. And thou shalt be what? Satisfied with bread. And as he said in Mark chapter 8, he says, "I am the bread of life. He who comes after me shall never hunger. He who comes after me shall never thirst." See, that's why having God gave us eyes and God gave us ears. Remember what he was telling the disciples? He said, "Don't you see? Don't you hear?" Okay? But having ears, they what? Hear not. Hear not. You need to use the abilities that God has given you and don't waste them. There is so much wasted potential. There's so much wasted potential in our lives. If we just gave them to God, what things could we do? We need revival. This country needs revival. There's so much potential in all the churches. What would happen if all the churches got revived at the same time? It would change the world. It would change the world. Okay? Do not presume that what you get by any means is right. So look at this verse. It says, it is not, it is not. So you go and you buy a car from some friend. And you know that the car is actually in pretty good mechanical condition. And you come up and you say, you know, I hear that little tick in the engine. That really means that you need a whole new set of valves. Well, that's going to cost $1,000. And it was kind of, the transmission was this. So that car price was $8,000. It's actually worth that much. Well, that little tick in there is just $1,000. This other thing with the transmission, you need new tires, that's another $500. And you basically whittle him down and he feels bad and he sells it to you for half price. And then what do? Look at the deal I got. Boy, that guy was oblivious to what I was talking about. There's two problems here. First of all, not knowing what you have. And then the second thing is taking from someone, not giving someone what is right and what is fair. Okay? What we need to do is we need to do things, all things, hardly unto the Lord and not unto men. So, don't presume that whatever you get means it's God's blessing on you if you're getting it the wrong way. There's a lot of people mistaking that right now. Presuming the blessing of God. Oh, presuming that godliness is what? Gain. Paul wrote that to Timothy. Some 2,000 years ago, we got the same thing going on now. Got the same thing going on. Do not presume that what you get by any means is right. Don't presume that riches are better than knowledge. That riches are better than knowledge. He says there's gold and a multitude of rubies, but the what? The lips of knowledge are as a precious jewel. All we need is have our needs supplied. It's not who gets the most wins. It's not that at all. That's not, if that's your motivation, you're wrong. We're supposed to give glory to God. And He's going to supply all of our needs. So don't presume that riches are better than knowledge. Well, God's blessed me. That could be a lie from Satan. To take your eyes off of what what God wants you to do and put it on something else. Well, if I just got this extra job and I can work on a Sunday, we really don't need to, but if we do this, we can have this. I would counsel you against that. Counsel you against that. Riches are not better than knowledge. We've gone through, if you think that, then you haven't paid attention the last 19 weeks. It says, with all you're getting, get what? Wisdom and understanding and knowledge is priced as far above what? Rubies. Don't presume that you will escape if you get involved with the wrong people. Okay? Don't get yourself involved in verse 18. Don't get yourself involved with pledging for something that's yours not to pledge for. It's the wrong thing in the first place. Okay? And then lastly, Not all things that taste good are good. Poison can taste good, but it'll kill you. And the issue here is, it says, bread of what? Bread of what? Bread of truth? No, bread of deceit is what? Sweet to a man. You know why? Because it appeals to our sin nature. But afterwards, this is a pretty good illustration. But afterwards, his mouth shall be full of what? Gravel. Now, just if you want to figure out what that feels like, just go home and pick up a bunch of rocks and put it in your mouth and see how that works. Okay? And that's what bread of deceit will do in your life. Okay? It'll taste bad. You want to spit it out. It might break your teeth. All sorts of bad things can happen from it. So don't presume. Don't presume these things. Next, we studied in Proverbs chapter 11, verses 12 through 14. It says, "He that is void of wisdom despiseth his nature, his neighbor. But a man of understanding holdeth his peace. A talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. Where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there's safety. Do not prattle." What does prattle mean? Speak foolishly. It's a word. Speak foolishly. Speak just off the top of your head. You know, just blurt something out. Don't prattle. Verses 18 through 22. "Every purpose is established by counsel, and with good advice make war. He that goeth around as a talebearer revealeth secrets. Therefore meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips. Whoso curseth his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness." That doesn't sound good. "An inheritance may be gotten hastily at the beginning, but the end thereof shall not be blessed. Say not thou, I will recompense evil, but wait on the Lord, and he shall" what? "Save thee." So, do not prattle. How to live a life that's guided by wisdom and not by foolishness? Live with purpose. Live with purpose. "Every purpose is established by counsel. And any of you who lack wisdom, let him ask of" who? "Your friend." Facebook. Dr. Phil. Okay? "Any lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth" to what? "All men liberally, and doesn't hold anything back." So we need to live with a purpose. "I just don't know what I want to do." You're like, well, start living for God. God will kind of straighten everything. He's just, His word's a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. Live in truth. Okay? He that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth" what? "Secrets." You know, there are some things. There are some things I don't want to know about you. And I don't need you to be the moral police and tell me about it. And if you're doing something that would embarrass you to me or embarrass you to somebody else, then you're an embarrassment to God and you need to stop it. Because if I'm living for God and you're living for God, then we're all living together and we all have unity. And so what we need to do is we need to live in truth. Okay? Don't meddle with anybody that's doing the same thing. So there's someone who likes to talk about people. Don't hang with them. Don't hang with them. It's just going to get you in trouble. Verses 20 through 22. Okay, live in respect of the first one, of your heritage. And verse 20 says, "Whoso curseth his father and his mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness." Some tells me that God really thought really big of this at Mount Horeb, Mount Sinai, when he said, "Honor thy father and mother, that your" what? lives may be long on the earth. Paul later on writes, he says, honor your father and mother in Ephesians, because this is the first, this first commandment. What? Promise? Live in respect of your heritage. God gave you your parents. God made you the way you are. Live out of respect of your inheritance. Okay? Inheritance may be gotten hastily, but at the what? At the beginning, but the end thereof shall not be blessed. Remember the prodigal son? Give me what's coming to me. And what happens when you get what's coming to you too early? You don't know how to use it. And you waste it. Wouldn't you like to wait and wait on your inheritance and wait on the glory of God and wait on all the things, all the blessings that God has promised us? Live in respect of your Lord. Verse 22, say thou not, I will recompense thee. Wait a second. Someone tells me in Romans, says, vengeance is mine, I will repay. Thus saith the what? Lord. Let God take care of that. Blessed are we ye when men shall revile you and shall persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. So don't prattle. Don't live foolishly. Live with purpose. Live with truth. Live with respect of your heritage. We all have a heritage with God, those who know Christ, of your inheritance, and then of your Lord. In James chapter 2, verse 1, my brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect to persons. Now, before I go on to this next point, don't redefine the basic principles and doctrines of the Bible. Faith is what God says it is. Truth is what God says it is. Holiness is what God says it is. Righteousness is what God says it is. Not what you think it is. Remember in the Sermon on the Mount, he says, except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees, he says, you will have no inheritance. You will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. So the issue is, don't redefine faith into something that's not. Do not prefer. We're all sinners saved by grace. We don't put one person up above another person. It's not wise. The other night we said, well, it's not wise to compare yourself with someone else. Verses 23 to 20. Here we go again. You know, if we see the same thing over and over again, that must have really been a problem back then. Diverse weights. I'll use one set of weights for you, and I'll use a different set of weights for this other person. You're not treating people equally. You're not respecting people. You're not living truthfully. You're not living with integrity. Diverse weights are an abomination of the Lord, and a false balance is what? Not good. So that provokes God. Men's goings are of the Lord. How can a man then understand his own ways? It is a snare to the man who devoureth that which was holy, and after vows to make inquiry, actually to make a rash decision, and then has to reconsider. Do not prefer some people over others by how you deal with them. Okay. We should deal equally with everybody. Now, there's things called gifts, and that's okay. But the issue is, don't cheat people. Secondly, don't think your way is better than God's way. Because my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. My ways are higher than yours. Wide is the way that leads to destruction. Narrow is a way. And many and few be there that go in thereat. Don't take. How can a man understand his own ways? Folks, we need God's Word to tell us who we really are. And when we find out who we really are in God's Word, we find out that we need more and more God. And then don't make rash decisions that you have to reconsider. Oh, when I was young, I made some. With vehicles and things like that, I wish I changed my mind. But this is not this. This is making a vow to God and not following. Matthew chapter 10, there's some people. A guy comes up to Christ and says, I'll go wherever you want me to go. And then Christ says, hey, foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the man, Son of Man does not have a place to lay his head. Basically, he's telling this guy, he says, you really want to go someplace where you don't know where you're going, what you're going to have? There's no description of him following. Another guy comes up and says, hey, I'll follow you, but let me go first bury my father and my mother. And really he wanted to wait for his parents to die who had years to go. And what Christ said, he says, let the dead bury the dead. See, the decision's now. But he says, if you make a vow to the Lord, be sure that you what? Will pay it. How many of us, maybe in the past, have said, God, I'll go wherever you want me to go. I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'll give whatever you want me to give. And then you reneged on that. Maybe we've forgotten about that, but God hasn't. Because we're going to have to give account of what? Every idle word. So the issue is, do not prefer rash decisions that you have to reconsider. It says, by counsel you make war. By thinking through things. Don't be haste. Everybody be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. So do not prefer. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 through 12. It says, wherefore the rather, these are all the things that we need to add to your faith. He goes on and goes, he says this. He says, whether the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and your election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things. Though ye what?
Know them.
And be established in the present truth. See, Peter was writing to people who should have known the truth. And should apply it. And folks, why, if we know the truth, why do we have to cover the same ground again? And say the same. We need encouragement, it takes. But he says this. He says, I'm going to put you always in remembrance of these things. These are the things that you need to do. So lastly, the last thing is, don't put these things out of your mind. Don't put these things out of your mind. Don't provoke. Don't presume. Don't pretend. Don't prefer. Don't put these things out of your mind. Don't put out of your mind spiritual responsibilities. In verses 26 to 27, it says, a wise king scattereth the wicked. Hey, we've heard that before, huh? And bringeth a wheel over them. They get the consequences for their actions. And folks, today, it seems like we live our lives as if there's no consequence. There is a consequence. Last week, we needed to go and look and live considerately, reflect considerately, because there are consequences to our actions. It says, the spirit of the man is the candle of the Lord. See, God makes us really an empty shell. We're born an empty shell. And what God wants to do is He wants to fill us up with the Holy Spirit. when we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we can be the light of the world. But see, the spirit of the man is the candle of the Lord searching the inward parts of the belly. What does a candle do back then? It gives light. And you can take it into this corner and you can reveal what's there. You can put it over here and reveal what's there. Okay? And that's what we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be light. It says if your eye be single, it says then your whole body is what? Full of light. Christ himself said, ye are the light of the world. So the spirit of the man is a candle of the Lord. How is your light? We sing the song, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. I won't let Satan blow it out. I'll keep it lit till Jesus comes. Okay? Hide it under a bush. No. Don't do those things. We have some spiritual responsibilities and don't take them out of your mind. Secondly, do not put out of your mind spiritual blessings. In verses 28 and 29, it says, mercy and truth preserve the king. Mercy and truth only come from God. He's the God of all mercy. He's the God of all truth. And his throne is upholden by mercy. Your life, that you live in the flesh, you live by faith in the Son of God. You're not your own. You're the temple of the Holy Ghost. You're bought with a price. The glory of young men is their strength. When you're young, you do strong things. Quit smiling. And the beauty of old men is the gray head.
Amen.
Well, you don't have any hair. Okay? You have four?
They're gray.
But they're gray. They're gray. See, how do you serve God when you're young? How are you serving God when you're older? He says, but basically, he says, even the young men will faint, but God will what? Renew their strength. Folks, we don't need to put out of our mind the spiritual blessings. His mercy, his truth, the way he upholds us. He has us in the hollow of his hand. He hides us in the cleft of the rock. Do not put out of mind spiritual cleansing. Spiritual cleansing. Verse 30, it says, the blueness of a wound cleanseth away evil. You know, sometimes it hurts to cut off evil practices, evil relationships. But it will do your heart good. It'll do your soul good. He says, how can two walk together except they be a what?
Agreed.
It says, the blueness of a wound cleanses away evil, so does what? Stripes the inward part of the belly. You know, the chastisement of the Lord is not grievous. He chastens those who are his what? Sons. And even in Hebrews, he says, if you don't get chastening, and you're doing that, he says, you're not my kid. You're not my kid. So don't refuse spiritual blessing. Don't refuse spiritual cleansing. Tonight, what are we doing? Are we doing all the things that we should do? Or are we doing the things that we shouldn't do? It's our choice. And as we go through Proverbs, we see the contrast. There's good and then there's evil. There's righteousness and there's unrighteousness. Which side are you on? Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this time. Lord, just ask you this time of invitation. Father, search our hearts, Lord. And as David says, see if there be any wicked way in us. And Lord, cleanse us tonight. Lord, help us walk out of here, Lord, more like you. Lord, if someone does not know you as Savior, Lord, tonight I pray that they would come to saving knowledge of you tonight. Let's let you come into our heart tonight. We give you this time of invitation. We ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.